Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. This is Brother Fawn Miller, speaker on the broadcast, director of the Way of Truth Ministries. And it's a delight to have you come and share with us in the Word of God. We're going to be turning over to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and looking in particular at 14 through 16, although we will look at some other verses there as well. So get your Bibles open. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. That's our quality song and get right into studying the Word of God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege it's ours to rejoice in thee. Lord, you've given us so much. You've given us the plan of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, that precious blood that was shed on Calvary as the covering for our sin, to make us right with you. Lord, we cannot say thank you enough about that. Then you've given us your word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Lord, this is your word, and it gives us the information and the challenge on how to live now and what is ahead for us in the future. And Lord, we just want to thank you that you've not left us in the darkness, but you've given us the light of your glorious word. So help us to be able to share that with these precious folk who've taken the time to listen today. Maybe somebody needs to be saved, Lord. Oh, may they come to know thee, whom to know aright is life eternal. And then for those who do know thee as their Savior, may it be a day of growing and encouragement and strength and edification. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sound the depths of all the mighty oceans. We may tell the distance to the farthest star, but the mighty love of God cannot be measured. Its dimensions are so high, so deep, so far. This love is mine, I cannot comprehend it. This love revealed in Christ, my Lord divine. When on a tree he died for me, God's wondrous, glorious, mighty love, this love is mine. And someday I'll thank him face to face in glory, when with all the millions at his feet I fall, and through countless ages there I'll live rejoicing, sing forever at the wonder of it all. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me.
This Love Is Mine. What a great song. Thinking about the love of God, how it manifested to us. You know, you can't get better. You can't get more excited, and you cannot understand God's love any better than John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's you. That's me. That's this whole wide world. The 7 billion plus people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a great lesson and message that is. That is the heart of the Bible, John chapter 3 and verse 16. But you know, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. That he declared his love for us in dying on that old rugged cross. Let me just share just a couple of things. We're going to be back in Deuteronomy 30, and we will pick up our lesson there. But I want to just share a couple of things with you. You know, when I was thinking here, when I listened to the song, and I thought, you know, God has burdened the hearts of those of us within Way of Truth Ministries many years ago. He burdened our heart about some folk over in Ghana, West Africa. As a result of going over there and God opening up the door that we could work with some precious nationals there, our ministry expanded then into Liberia and into Togo, and since that time has spread to Burkina Faso, which is just north of Ghana and Togo, and then into the Ivory Coast, which is next door to, well, it's right in between Ghana and Liberia. God has given us that great opportunity in that section of the world. Now we're over in India as well. But very simply, what I'm saying is that God opened the door. A man was concerned about reaching his own people, and particularly at that time when we first got acquainted was with the military. And we went to Ghana. And God burdened our hearts, Brother Kissinger and I. We just had a real burden on our hearts to try to help these people reach their military and also their civilian population. And God gave us that opportunity. Well, we started out with, technically we started with 3 missionaries, one in each country. Today, God has given us over 40 units of missionaries, and there are a number of them in training, others in training, so we could conceivably, by spring, have well over 50 missionaries, units, and a unit is a family, and we could easily have over 50 units to reach their own people for Christ. And India's growing by leaps and bounds, as Brother Sonny Abraham, some of you have met him, enlarged the scope of his ministry to different areas around Kerala State. A lot of persecution there, but they're willing to go out to reach their own people for Christ, not worried about hazarding their lives, but trusting God to do exceeding abundantly above all they would ask or think. I want to thank you for praying for the ministry of Way of Truth. Here in the next couple of weeks, months, we'll share some specifics with you of different things. But I just wanted you to know that God is doing a work. And there's another area aspect of our Way of Truth ministry. It's called the Highway Ministry, where we have chapels to truckers, both North, East India, and Southern India. We're also helping a sister organization in Kenya. We're our own missionary in Ghana is developing a trucking ministry coming in this spring, and we'll have that developed and going. And we're just excited with what God is doing. And then we have some right here in Pennsylvania, USA. And it's the opportunity of reaching. And the interesting thing is we're reaching men and women from all over the world. I don't, honestly, right now, some time ago, I knew there was like 40 countries represented. But we have more than that now that have been represented by truckers who have come by. We've had the opportunity of talking with them, all kinds of religions involved in it. And yet we've had an open door with Muslims and with some Hindu. Then, of course, the Coptic Christians out of Egypt, we've had them. And just all kind from here in the U.S., I would like you to keep on praying for us as we seek to reach into the hearts and lives of men and women around the world. You know, these folk get saved, and many of them take maybe every 3 years or so, go back to their homeland. If they're carrying the gospel with them, yes, they may get into a hostile environment, but they're carrying the gospel in and may have the great opportunity of seeing their own family come to Jesus Christ. Well, I share that with you. I think it's very important. That's part of this love for God and our love for His Word. You know, you are my friends if you do whatsoever, my servants, really, if you do whatsoever I've commanded you. If we're obedient to the Lord, we are acting out, and I don't mean acting in a play acting, we are carrying out, it's a better word, we are carrying out our love for Him by obedience to His Word. Now, when you come to Deuteronomy chapter 30, and you look at verse 14 is where we left off reading on the last broadcast, but the word is very nigh unto thee. Understand, this is Moses talking to Israel and talking to the nation and letting them know that soon he's going to pass off of the scene. Joshua is going to lead them, but they need to follow his leading. And so he challenges them, not in just following this man, Joshua, but following what God has commanded. And you'll see that here in just a moment. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day, note this, to love the Lord thy God. Now, how do I demonstrate my love for God? I can say it all day long and really not have any love in my heart. Well, he says how you do that. To walk in his ways. Now, did we not read that in Deuteronomy chapter 10? To walk in his ways. To keep his commandments. That is his word. To obey his word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word was found and I did eat it. It became the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You know, the Bible tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why is the Bible so important? For all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the born-again one, may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, the word of God is very, very important. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, said that now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Or pardon me, that was what he said in John chapter 15. But rather, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, is what he said in 17:17. So the word of God has its bearing on our hearts and will guide us. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. And so he tells us to keep his commandments. Now, you won't know the commandments of God, and we're not talking about simply the Ten Commandments. We're talking about the challenge that God gives us from His Word. But you won't know that unless you read the Word of God. So, we need to read and study the Word of God. We need to sit under the teaching of the Word of God so that we might know that this is a way, walk ye in it. And we're to keep His commandments, and we're to keep His statutes. We're to keep His judgments. You see, the judgments is that matter of separation. You remember what the Lord told Paul to tell the Corinthians? that they were to come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. If you study 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you can see this matter of separation declared very emphatically how they ought to live. You and I, to show our love for God, there's some things that we need to learn to separate from. And that could be, certainly in the teaching of the Word of God. It could be in some of the music that we will allow ourselves to listen to or promote. It could be in some of the practices and activities that we would desire to do, or want to do, or think we ought to do, which would not be of a profit in our serving the Lord. The compromise in the Word of God, many times people have pulled out translations. I remember when I graduated from high school, the one church, I went to three different churches. I didn't think any one church should have the great privilege of having me all the time. Well, I wasn't saved, so I'd go from here to there or whatever. But in the one church I went to, they gave me a New Testament. It was an RSV. I can honestly tell you, I didn't read it even as an unsaved young lad. Now, another church I went to, they gave me a nice Bible, and I did occasionally look at that. The only problem was I wasn't saved, and as I'd read the Bible, it would prick at my heart, you know? And so I thought, well, if I don't read it, it won't bother me. Well, it doesn't. And you as a Christian, if you let your Bible lay on the shelf, it's not going to bother you. I mean, you're not going to gain anything from it. And so you need to take that Bible off. Somebody has said dust on the Bible doesn't prove that it's a dry book. No, it proves you haven't opened it up. But take the Word of God and read it. But people have compromised in using a lot of the bogus translations, and consequently, they've become weak in their faith. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Now, he says, and then keep his statutes. That's the principles he lays down in front of us. The commandments are the separation, or judgments really are the separation issues. Commandments are is his word. Statutes are is his word. And these are the principles that we should follow from his word. Then we have the judgments where we make that discernment. We are to discern the truth of the Word of God. In fact, in Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy, he also talks about the matter of this separation, how that there will come a time when people have itching ears and they'll want teachers that have itching ears, and they want to hear what they want to hear, and they don't want him to upset the apple cart. You see that happening in churches today. I mean, we start compromising in so many different areas of the church. And that's not my theme for today. I'm talking about love. You and I need to practice our faith by, one, believing and studying and meditating upon the Word of God. We'll pick up here in just a moment, but let's listen to a song right now.
About if your heart were made with a window on each side, so that all could see not just outward charm, but detect if Jesus really knows you, for he sees inside. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts to.
Amen. It's been a long time since I heard that song, and what a great song that is. How about your heart? You know, that's what we're talking about. Here in chapter 30, he is saying to the children of Israel, there are some things you need to put to work in your life. And the Word of God is that key thing. Showing your love for the Lord is in your relationship with the Word of God. How does it affect you? How does it encourage you, strengthen you, or prick your conscience? The Word of God, thy Word, is a lamp to my feet. But is it? Is it a lamp to your feet? You know, it's interesting. I was looking at chapter 31. And I'll not take the time to do the whole chapter. It'd do you well to read it. God has given the children of Israel the commands that they're to follow in the first 30 chapters. Here are things you need to do. Here are things you did do, and it backfired on you. And here are things that you did when it was right, and God blessed you. And so now he gives the final command. And they are to, in verse 16, they're to love the Lord thy God. This is chapter 30. Walk in his ways, keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, and thou that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess. Now, that's all wonderful and good. And see, he says, I've set before thee you life, death, blessing, cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. That's verse 19. Verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swear unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Now he says, listen, this is a promise that God made way back when he called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, chapter 12 of Genesis. And then when he had Jacob, or Isaac, and then Jacob. And then from Jacob, of course, the 12 sons. He is saying, listen, follow this. This is what God said. If you go back and look when he called Abraham out, actually you go back to the very beginning, but go back to Abraham and you follow through all the way up to right now. They're going to go into the promised land. He has said the same identical thing. He has told them they're to obey his word. And then he gives the assurance. You know, verse 3 of chapter 31, the Lord thy God will go be over before thee. You love the Lord your God. You love God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. You love them. You serve him. And you're faithful to him. And he's going to be with you. He will guide you. And then he says, yeah, Joshua's going to lead you. So God gives you a pastor who will lead you from the pulpit, yes, and from everyday life. And that pastor will teach the word of God. That pastor will be faithful in setting the example of being a witness and so forth. He says, I'll give you that, but you've got to follow. You've got to be obedient. Look, if you will, at verse 6. This is chapter 31. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now, 38 years previous, they forsook God. They rejected his word. They would not go into the promised land. Consequently, they wandered the total of 40 years. Now, it was 38 years after they had done that. They were 2 years in the wilderness where God was teaching them and directing them and showing his wonderful blessings to them. And then they rejected going into the promised land. Of course, they wandered for 38 more years. God still took care of them. God still provided for them. And so Moses now calls Joshua and he says, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Now, what Moses has done, as God has given him the instruction, he has brought their minds back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and said, listen, God did not fail in them in that time. He will not fail you today. Show your love for him, that you love him for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. That's how you demonstrate your love for him. Well, we'll pick up on this on the next week's broadcast, talking about the love of God. And we're going to probably get from here over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Then over to 1 John, just to see this response of our love for God, but a biblical love for God. Not just words, a biblical love for God. If we can be a spiritual help to you, salvation, or as a Christian to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, contact us by email. Most everybody has that now. Contact us at wotbm.org and then make note, Message of Truth, and then give your question. We'll do what we can to answer you from the Bible, and you will not be put on a mailing list, but we will respond to you. God bless you, my friend. Give us the opportunity to minister with you. We thank you in Jesus' name.